This is the Tom Likas Show.
Drug dealing, hookers, and loud music.
And now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
No shit, it's retarded.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live Monday through Friday. 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. 24-7 at GloryFTom.com. You can hear us on our brand new free app. Get us at Google Play. Get us at the App Store. Or get us at TomEverywhere.com. That's TomEverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are with a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. An extra brand spanking new hour. And joining us in studio is family law attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, hello.
Hey, always nice to see you, Tom.
Nice to see you, too. Did you have a good time at the ball game the other day?
It was really cool.
Yeah?
That Hollywood suite was exciting.
Yeah.
I didn't play any pool, though, but it was a great view of the game, and the Dodgers won.
They did.
That was kind of a new experience for me. I think the previous games, they had always lost.
Yes.
I was excited.
Yes. Now, there are a few photos of you online falling asleep at the game. What happened?
What is that? Where is that? I got to see that.
Oh, you haven't seen that?
Is that on your stuff, Tom?
It's posted, I think, in a variety of places.
I don't think
online.
I fell asleep.
Twitter.
I was there.
Folks, if you have a photo of Adam Sachs asleep, would you please post that right now to Twitter or Facebook?
How about a flattering photo instead, please?
Well, just so you know, we're not making this up.
Well, I could have dozed off for a moment. I mean, it was a very hot day, as I recall.
Well, I couldn't believe you were dozing outside in 105-degree heat. I thought if you're going to doze, you'd have dozed in the air conditioning.
I could have sworn I watched the whole game. I don't know whether this is possible.
Let's face it. All the action for the Dodgers occurred literally in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was two homers, and that was about it.
Two homers back-to-back, and that was it. That was all the offense for the Dodgers. That was it.
So
amazing. All right, family law attorney Adam Sachs,
yes. You
have a guest.
All right, we'll get to him. Here it is. This is family law, and one of the great tragedies, Tom, and you've always been really up on this and sensitive about this. I know you're going to like this. We've talked in the past many times about soldiers. And, you know, we have a special place in our heart on the Tom Likas Show, right, for soldiers and
yes. Serving
our country and defending our freedom and whatnot. And you've always talked about this. I remember some of the Likas 101 rules that you talked about in the past for these guys. This especially when the war in Iraq was more, hot on the front page. You were telling the guys, you know, not to get married and not to go over with, like, a girlfriend. A lot of guys, when they're getting deployed, they want to get married so they get more benefits and they have someone they can write home to and so forth. And we even teased about how if the wife cheats on the husband, which happens quite a lot while he's deployed, that ought to be considered an act of treason.
By the way, I was not kidding. I'm not kidding either. The UCMJ needs to be modified. If you marry a soldier, you are under the terms of the UCMJ.
Well, he is. You're not.
I'm saying we need to modify it.
Right.
So that military wives, look, they're getting paid. They get military benefits.
They live on base.
They get military
even. Housing. Yeah.
So my opinion is that if you're getting all of that, you need to be under UCMJ domain. Okay? And that means if we have someone serving our country, risking his life on behalf of our country, and you distract him by going and getting nailed by everybody else on base, or you go and have an affair and then you try to take the guy's benefits, I think that's treason. On the UCMJ, that should be treason, and you should be punished accordingly.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you don't want to be under those the UCMJ rules, then do not marry a military man.
Right, right.
So I take that really seriously. That's, again, it may have sounded like I was kidding or half kidding. And maybe they'll never make that the law of the land. But I do believe they should.
I think you're absolutely right. And in general, the soldiers do get very, very screwed. You know that they're not very highly paid, but they have a lot of good benefits. And when they get divorced, you know, they get absolutely, you know, washed up of all their benefits and so forth. A lot of times they don't hire lawyers. They expect that they're going to be treated fairly. They end up having this whole kind of military thinking of duty and honor and country. And when that comes into the harsh reality of family law court, particularly facing a woman, in other words, this is the man who's the soldier facing this this female who couldn't care less about honor and country and duty, it ends up being unbelievable. So I really want to talk to our guest. What are we calling him tonight?
We're calling your guest Jack.
Jack, okay. Can we turn him on?
He's on.
Jack, you there?
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thanks for coming on. Now, Jack and I have been talking the past few days, and he's at this point going to hire me. He's a potential client at this point. But he did come through the show, Tom. You'll be happy to know. So your advertising, as always, is working great.
There we go.
And Jack, actually, and I want you to tell your story yourself, Jack, but basically, by introduction, I think you actually represented yourself, at least in the beginning, and that didn't turn out to be very very good for you, right?
No, I pretty much hit the battlefield with an unloaded gun, and I was not prepared for what was going to happen whatsoever.
It was
a huge mistake.
Now, you came to court wearing your uniform, right?
I did, not to get any favors, not to sway anybody's thoughts, but just to kind of lend credibility to who I am and what I do, and it quite frankly did nothing for me. I did look good, though.
Well, sure. So, can you tell us the background, like who you married, how long you were married, what was going on? You were abroad, right?
Yes. I was actually stationed in Korea, and I'd met another service member. And we developed a relationship, and it came to a point where she got orders to this base, and I got orders to that base, and it's either get married or see ya. So, I mean, we were young and idealistic, and, we just decided to go ahead and tie the knot. Went through the motions, and, once she'd become pregnant with our first son, she'd actually separated from the military.
All right, now that really parallels, one second. So you married a soldier, but this very much parallels our experience. Where Tom and I have always talked about, like, a professional woman. The guys marry a woman that's making a good living, and the second they either get married or she gets pregnant, all of a sudden she's not working anymore, Tom.
They always conveniently lose their jobs early on.
Right. So she separated from the military herself, so you were the only soldier once she got pregnant.
That's correct.
And then what happened? So then you guys had this kid, and then... I'm trying to remember, you moved back to the U.S.?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had our first son back in 2004, and then I was followed by, my youngest son in 2009. And, meanwhile, she was not employed. She was going to school. I encouraged that, just so she can set herself up for the future. And, when it was all said and done, when I found out the funny business that was going on, we'd been married about 11 years.
Yeah, that is also a killer, Tom, long-term marriage.
Yep.
What was the funny business?
She was basically screwing around with a mutual friend of mine, and I'd have my suspicions, and
Don't tell me it was a soldier, right?
It was not. Thank God.
Thank God for that.
No.
Now,
but unfortunately, I'd reached the 10-10 rule, which
right.
means that I've been in the service for over 10 years and married for over 10 years, and just based on that fact, I will be handing her over a portion of my retirement.
Right. We were talking about the benefits, but basically, aside from all the other things that she's going to take now, one of the nice things about the military doesn't have the biggest salaries in the world, but it has these very, very good benefits, which she's now going to take half of.
Indeed. Retirement, you work toward that your whole career, and to have somebody kind of snatch a large portion of that out from under you, it's disheartening for sure.
Right, and one of the other things we were talking about, I remember something that you were sort of inferring with guys that are in the military and so forth, is these the benefits and the other things going to the woman, and this is something that the military actually really enforces very very thoroughly, and they have these offices that make sure she gets all the money and whatever else there is, and you were even saying that some of the guys, and I know this is true. That were injured, that were seriously hurt in battle and so forth, even that money is taken away, with reference to disability payments and so forth.
Yeah, for sure. If you're VA disabled, whatever percentage you know, former spouse can actually fight for that. And unfortunately, in many cases, you know, they get what they're fighting for.
Unbelievable. That's amazing to me. So anyway, so when you found out she was fooling around, I mean, that happens, right? So you went for this divorce, right?
Yes.
And then what happened?
Well, you know, I just got to a point where I realized I couldn't trust her anymore, you know, and I let her know that. And, you know, obviously it is what it is. You know, you got to have two people working toward a marriage to make it happen. And, you know, our marriage was not going to continue. So, you know, we tried to handle things, you know, between ourselves. I didn't want to involve lawyers. I didn't understand a lot of the legal mumbo jumbo. You know, I mean, you got to remember I'm dealing with local laws, state laws, federal laws, and also the UCMJ, you know. But, you know, I'm a college grad. I got all kinds of certifications. I'm a pretty sharp dude, and I figured I could handle myself in court, and sadly mistaken.
Right. So you actually went in without a lawyer.
I did.
Right. And you guys were primarily in the beginning talking about support, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, child support, spousal support.
Now, I saw some sheets that you gave me. I could not believe in the end that your income, you don't have to say how much it is, but I think that maybe 40, 50, even upwards of 50% of it is being taken by her.
Yeah, 45% right now.
That must have been a big surprise, right? I mean, that's a huge chunk.
I didn't envision it going that way. You know, I had a scenario in my head, and then I had a worst-case scenario in my head. And, you know, I walked out of court just absolutely blown away, you know, by the judge's decision. I mean, half my paycheck is gone.
Right.
You know, I still got to live. You know, I have bills to pay, and I need to sustain myself. But I'm behind the eight ball right now for sure.
Right. I think also, you know, now that, you know, you're hiring me, we're going back to work on this. It seems like that's even part of the problem then, which is, you know, you have a lot less money to even, you know, hire an attorney later on to, you know, sort of fix the mistake. And then obviously you're under pressure of the income in terms of, you know, just living your life and so forth. And then on top of all that, as I recall, you also agreed that she would take the kid, you know, your child out of state, right?
Yes.
So,
yeah, and I gave her a lot of the belongings as well, you know, so I was trying to be nice guy, you know, trying to be diplomatic about the whole thing. But, I think that was really, you know, one of my biggest mistakes is, you know, I don't know how the law works entirely. You know, I'm not a lawyer, you know, that's not my job, you know, so why would I try and do that job on top of my own job and all my other responsibilities? You know, it was not a smart decision on my behalf. You know, I should have came in, you know, represented by a professional.
Right. Now, talk about soldiers. You have a lot of interaction, right? You were saying that you deal with a lot of soldiers and new soldiers in your just general work day to day, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So what happens? What's the mentality? How do they fall into these traps? I mean, soldiers to me seem particularly susceptible.
Well, I mean, once you get married as a service member, you receive additional benefits.
So
you receive a housing allowance, a substance allowance.
So is that something that attracts guys, especially to want to get married?
Oh, absolutely.
Like
you know,
it seems to make
just
sense.
Go out and get hitched before a deployment, so they can get that extra money.
Which is more salary plus the residence.
Indeed, yes.
You think it's also psychological? I mean, from the point of view of being, you know, being a soldier, being nervous or, you know, concerned about your future, the dangers you face, you know, that you want to have, like, someone home to, you know, write to or to come home to or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody kind of wants that, you know, support section, you know, and unfortunately, you get a lot of these young guys jumping into situations that they weren't prepared for, you know, and I'm a perfect example.
What really fascinates me in some way is how the guys are very, you know, courageous soldiers, obviously, and they're able to, you know, literally fight, you know, Al-Qaeda or whatever it is. But on some level, when it comes to defending themselves against their girlfriend or their ex-wife or whatever, they seem very hesitant to do so. You know, I mean, I've had cases, well, I have cases like your case where, you know, you didn't hire a lawyer at all, that you hired me afterwards or whatever. But I've had other cases where I went with the guy right at the beginning, and he said things to me like, you know, don't go so hard on her. You're really upsetting her. You know, I want you to go easy on her. I mean, what do you think that's about?
people try and play nice in the beginning. They try and be diplomatic, you know. It's not a rational way of thinking. These things, you know, they get ugly, you know. And in order to just preserve your way of life, you need to go into it with a professional. You can't fight this battle on your own, you know. And it's ironic, you know, as service members, we don't support and defend the president. We don't support and defend Congress. We support and defend the Constitution, which is really just a set of laws. So here I am, been doing this for 14 years, swearing that oath to support and defend the Constitution, you know, but I'm getting shafted by the, you know, by the very same laws that document represents. And it's disheartening, you know, as a service member, it really is. And, you know, we got all kinds of programs to help us out with financial situations, with moving, with psychological issues. But when it comes to divorce and stuff like this, you're just kind of left on your own, you know. I sought out legal advice, you know, from the military, and they made me sit down and watch an instructional video.
what was that about?
It was pretty terrible. I wouldn't wish it upon anybody.
It
certainly didn't help me, really, you know. And I went and saw a JAG officer, and they said, hey, kid, you know, we can't represent you. If you have some paperwork, we can look it over to make sure, you know, all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. But
right.
You know, really, that's as far as we can go.
Well, there is a certain irony, if that's the right word. I guess that's not as sort of not even fair to say, but there is a certain ironic aspect that, you know, you're at the front line, at the tip of the arrow, literally, you know, protecting and defending the Constitution, and you're sworn to protect the Constitution against all enemies and so forth. And then, you know, having made those sacrifices and, you know, protecting the Constitution, you then come back to the country itself, and you're really facing the court system, which is the, you know, the ultimate manifestation of our constitutional system, really. And, you know, not in theory, but in day-to-day practice. And, you know, you come in and you're defending the Constitution, and you know, you're getting absolutely screwed, you know, for that very thing that you were literally, you know, risking your life and, you know, putting your health and safety down on the line on a day-to-day basis to defend. I mean, that's pretty unbelievable in itself.
And it's then, insult to injury, really.
Yeah. I kind of picture also in terms of, you know, not having a gigantic salary and so forth, and going to this the JAG, which is the Judge Advocate General, which is like these lawyers for soldiers, and saying, I need help. And they're telling you, well, you know, the best we can do is, like, look over your paperwork. You know, we can't really help you. So their ability to really help you is actually very limited. You know, one of the really disturbing things that has always bothered me tremendously is the image, for example, of a guy who's, you know, out there, you know, let's say in Afghanistan or Iraq or one of these frontline battlefields, and he's, you know, trying to concentrate on staying alive and you know, fighting, you know, for his squad and his crew and his people not to get killed, or his friends being, you know, hurt and killed around him and so forth. And while he's there, he's getting served with papers, or he's, you know, the wife is mailing him, you know, a videotape of her, you know, cheating on him, or telling him she wants a divorce or whatever. And I just really would wonder how someone would be able to, you know, function day to day and concentrate and be able to do his job as a soldier and defend himself and his comrades, you know, under those circumstances, you know, knowing that that's going on.
I think there needs to be reforms in the way that, you know, we handle these types of situations in the military. You know, we should get some support. As a, you know, very, very young service member stationed out in North Carolina, I remember when we had a very, very large division deploy to the Middle East. And boy, the bars filled up with all these spouses staying at home. And meanwhile, you know, G.I. Joe is in the battlefield.
Right.
When he comes home, you know, what happens then? You know, I mean, where's the support section then? Where's his help?
Right, right. So what do you think, Tom? Is it just what we were talking about?
It's something I feel very strongly about. I, you know, and I, again, it's important for the guys out there who have other situations where they're just getting to where Jack was. They're just getting into the military. They're young guys. It's tough going out there and having the bravery to go out there and protect what we hold dear in this country. And I know a lot of guys somehow get this feeling of security if they think there's a woman back home waiting for them, thinking about them, what have you. But in the real world, women have very little attention span in the 21st century. And, if you're gone for more than 5 minutes, they're looking for places to go and things to do. And so I can't emphasize this enough to the guys out there who are joining the military and, you know, they have a girlfriend or a wife back home. You're going to get screwed. So many of our boys in the military get screwed. I hate to see this. You know, my dad served during the Korean War. I really feel for people in the military. I respect them. I love what they do. And that's why I feel so strongly about this. It sounds counterintuitive. Don't have a girlfriend. Don't have a wife. The time to get a girlfriend or a wife is after you finish your military service, if you're ever going to have one. If you're ever going to do that, don't do it before you are deployed, because they're not going to wait for you. They're gonna screw around, and then they're going to take everything you have, and they're going to break your heart.
So it really seems like straight advice, just as a soldier, especially at the beginning, mm-hmm. especially as a young guy. You just absolutely positively cannot make that mistake, getting married.
Right.
You agree with that, right, Jack? 100%?
100%, really. You know, I mean, I can't go out there and wave the flag. Hey, fellas, don't ever get married. Just be very careful and think very deeply about your decisions, because
right.
they're going to carry with you for the long haul.
And I guess the second part of it, which doesn't need to be repeated 100 times, is if you do this, on your way out and you start dealing with the legal ramifications of what you've done, you've got to have counsel. You can't go to court by yourself, right?
Yeah, that is the most important thing. You know, I went into the courtroom thinking one thing, and I felt like I'd gone 12 rounds with Muhammad Ali after I got out of there.
Did you really think you were going to get a fair shake?
You know, I mean, maybe I was naive. You know, I don't know. I have faith in our legal system.
Yeah, but you look how politically correct the government is. Look how politically correct the White House is. Look at the political correctness all around us. Look at the military. Women don't have to meet the same physical standards to get the same pay and benefits you get. If they get pregnant, they can get paid to not be in service to our country. So I have to believe that when you're going through a divorce while you're in the military, you're going to get that same treatment.
I found out when you make assumptions, you lose.
Exactly.
Unreal. Well, thanks very much for calling. I really appreciate it. And I really hope the guys are listening. That's all I can say, Tom.
Yeah, exactly right.
I hate to be redundant.
Exactly right. Jack, thank you. Thank you for telling your story. Thanks for serving your country.
Isn't that, Tom, what it is? I mean, honestly, these guys are making such a sacrifice
right?
to protect our freedom.
Yep.
And it's just, I mean, I don't know what the deal is. You know, there's two sides to every story. But these women that screw around on these guys and they come home after seeing and doing God knows what, horrible, horrible experiences, and they come home and the wife's telling them, you know, I'm pregnant, it's not your kid, you know, I cheated with your best friend, and blah, 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 and they're all doing these crazy things.
And they brag about it because they know they're going to be financially rewarded for their bad behavior.
That's the worst part.
Right.
Then she walks away with half your money, half
that's
your
right.
benefits, half your retirement.
Right.
Yeah, you got to be out of your mind, guys. Please, don't do it.
I'm going to take a break here. We're going to come back. We've got callers. You want to talk to Adam? This is family law attorney Adam Sachs. That means if you've got questions about divorce, child custody, child support, vagina money, maybe you've had a slap with a restraining order. Who knows? Adam can answer your questions right here, right now. All you have to do is call this number, 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. Look at the phones tonight. 901-3000-866.
The entire Tom Likas experience in your pants.
Get the app now.
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. Don't forget, we're going to have a real live boys' night out next Friday night, August 28th at 9 p.m. at the official grand opening party of the Dames and Games Topless Sports Bar and Grill in Van Nuys. It's like Hooters on steroids, featuring a topless stage, a go-go stage, five dance areas, a full menu, tons of flat screens, and one of the hottest lineups of the Lycats you have ever seen. This could be the wildest party of the year. It is just $10 at the door. Remember, there's no tickets or anything. You show up with a 10 spot and you are in. But you got to get there early because there's limited space. It's not this Friday. It's next Friday, August 28th at 9 p.m., the official grand opening party of Dames and Games in Van Nuys. For details and directions and all of that, go to blowmeuptom.com right now and get the details. It's blowmeuptom.com.
Now, Tom, are these naked Lycats?
They're topless.
Topless Lycats.
I mean, how often have you seen topless Lycats?
Well, mine were never topless.
maybe in the dressing room. I don't know. But these are topless Lycats this time.
Very nice.
The way you've always wanted them. That's right. That's coming up a week from Friday. All right, it's a family law attorney, Adam Sachs, answering your legal questions right now at 901-3000 Tom. 901-3000 Tom. That's our telephone number. 901-3000-866. Here is Lo in Seattle. Lo, you're on the Tom Likas show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Good evening, Adam. Good evening, Tom. How you fellas doing?
Hello.
Doing great.
All right. Yeah, man, a little backstory real quick. So I grew up with this chick, man. We went to elementary school, went to high school. We even did some college together. In high school, she started being like lesbian, you know, licking the box and stuff like that. So there was never really no chance for us to get together. Right?
Nothing unusual about that, eh?
Yeah, So she comes with a proposition like later on, just like, I don't know, probably about 7 years ago. She comes to me, she's like, me and my girlfriend, we really want to have a kid and we don't trust nobody.
She needs
but
a little little sperm there, huh?
I always say, don't do this. I always
yeah,
say it.
I know.
And you don't have to worry, honey. We're not going to come after you
we
for anything.
We don't want anything from you.
The crazy part is that We signed a document saying that she wouldn't come
right.
for child support or anything. Got it notarized.
Oh, notarized.
Yeah, exactly. So come to find out, the bitch that notarized the document was her homegirl.
Well, that doesn't matter, does it, Adam?
No.
Because let me tell you what I think it is, and you correct me.
Yes.
Child support cannot be signed away because of the right of the child,
that's right.
Not the mother. So it doesn't matter what the woman signs. That's the child's right she's signing away, and it will not stand up.
And that's why you don't make documents without the assistance of an attorney. And I don't care.
Right.
I don't care if they're notarized. That doesn't mean shit. I don't know where you guys get this idea from. You know, notarized is basically proving that the signature is real. But that doesn't make the document legal in any way. It doesn't matter. The reality is you can't give child support away like that.
Let me try this one, Lo. What if I got you to sign a contract that said you were going to be my slave for the rest of your life, and I got it notarized? Would that be legal?
Right.
Well, it's notarized, Tom. I mean, come on.
Right.
Right, it's like Amistad and shit. I'd probably be your slave.
Well, after having to pay child support, you're going to be somebody's slave. I'll tell you what.
The wrong kind of slave.
Yeah.
You thought they made slavery illegal, but let me tell you something.
and you're exactly right, Tom. Because it's like, so I get a letter. So I'm in Seattle right now, and she's in Las Vegas.
Well,
so
I get a letter. One more second, Lo. I got to know. Did you actually have sex with her to make her pregnant?
Oh yeah, so
thank God for that.
That was the only cool part about it was like I finally got to tap that ass, and her girlfriend was involved because
she
wanted to make sure everything was right.
Oh, make sure it was legit. So you get to screw the girl, and the girlfriend helped you. That's nice.
Yeah, so you know the incense.
Then she notarized.
Had to be a certain temperature in the room and shit.
Oh, nice.
It was cool, but now I'm in this boat. You
now
know
wait
what
a
saying?
Second, hold on. You actually turned a lesbian, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, for, you that, actually, for that, you, for that hour or so.
You actually made her straight again.
Yeah, for that hour, and I then thought, she went back to licking boxes again.
I thought only Ben Affleck could do that, you know?
I mean, if I take anything good away from this, that would be that. But, you know, when she woke up and was like, hey, I like penis again, now I'm in her crosshairs for that money to help her out on her
well,
dick journey. You know what
the
I'm
reality is two things. I don't know exactly what happened. I'm sure you'll tell me in a second. But it may not have been her fault. If she applied for any state benefit, they would have asked who the father of the child is, right? Is that what happened?
No, she's not on any state assistance. This was more like she called me to gauge where I was at, you know, as far as she was like, oh, you're going to tell me that you have a kid and you don't have no feelings for it? I'm like, bitch, that's not what I did it for, you know what I'm saying?
And wait one more second, and did they break up?
Yeah, they broke up. Man,
oh, well, there you go, Tom. Here's the problem. The whole financial situation rather changed.
Right, Jesus. Exactly.
So they broke up, and now she calls you, and she goes, hey, you got a 7-year-old. You're an asshole. Don't you love your 7-year-old?
Right. Like, well, you ain't never called on a birthday or nothing. I'm like, bitch, that's your kid.
This has similarities to the guy in Kansas. He didn't have sex with the lesbian.
Right.
The guy who met
that
the two
Craigslist,
women on Craigslist,
right?
And he brought them like a Dixie cup of sperm,
ugh,
and they were going to pay him for it. And he said, oh, no, girls, good luck with your kid. Have fun. And they said, don't worry, you won't have to do anything. And then when the two girls split up, the one with primary custody went and applied for welfare.
Right.
And the welfare department said, well, we'll be happy to pay you welfare, but first tell us the name of the father of your kid.
Right, that's what I was thinking low, but apparently that's not what happened.
Right.
She just contacted
you. She did it on some vindictive...
a vindictive woman? I can't believe it.
Amazing.
Where'd you find one of those?
Man, tell me about it.
I'm really impressed.
So I get a letter. I get a letter in the mail talking about I have to take a DNA test, and if I don't, then they're just going to consider it that
right.
I'm agreeing that I am the father,
right,
and just start beating me over the head with child support and shit.
Right,
so,
right. It's going to be a good time to hire a lawyer. Okay.
Yeah.
There is an argument to be made. Now you've heard about like a sperm donation place, right, or like a sperm bank or whatever they call it.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Theoretically, and this has come up in other cases, there's actually a very interesting case with the actor Jason Patrick, who you may have heard of, where he actually helped a woman that he had been dating, and I think they had broken up, but he helped her by giving his sperm so she could do in vitro fertilization, okay? And it was kind of the opposite. He wanted to be the father of the kid, and she didn't want him to be. And she argued... and it was successful at first. She argued that he was just a sperm donor, and the court agreed, but later it was overturned on appeal. So he did actually get to make the connection with his kid. But he's like the opposite of you. You don't want to have the connection to the kid, as I understand. And there is an argument to be made, even though you had sex with this woman, that you were intending to be a sperm donor. Now, the way to really have backed that up is not with this little notarized letter. You really needed to have an attorney back at that time, you know, write up a proper agreement and contract and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could have probably argued successfully that you would not have to pay child support because it was not your intention to be a father. It was your intention to give a lesbian sperm so that she could have a child with her lesbian partner. And that's something you might still be able to argue. But I would say, unfortunately, because of some of the things you've described and some of the facts and the groundwork that you didn't lay at the time by not having an attorney and not having a real contract and agreement, there's going to be a whole question of intent. And the fact that you actually had sex with her, that's a whole different thing.
That's probably why the girlfriend was in there as a witness.
She saw the dick
now,
go in,
now,
right?
Now, Adam, her girlfriend that she don't fuck with no more said that she would, if it came down to it, she would testify or tell somebody exactly what the plans were. I don't know how I could put that in my case or what the deal is. I don't know, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't know about anything anymore. I'm like, shit, what did I do? I mean, it wasn't even that good, you know what I mean?
So, I know, that's 7 years ago, man. That's a little too late for you. I'm going to have to ask. Call me after the show, okay? And maybe it's possible, don't get too excited, but with your intent and the fact that she has this girlfriend, as the, you know, you might be able to use her as a witness or whatever, I'd say it is possible, maybe, that we can work something out to deflect this. Otherwise, if it is your child, you have to definitely do a DNA test. You might be on the hook for support, so you can't do crazy stuff like this. And that's the lesson of that thing you're talking about, Tom, that Craigslist case.
Right.
I mean, even that guy that helped these people out with good intentions ended up getting screwed. No good deed goes unpunished.
That's right. Exactly right. Low good luck. Hang on. Dino is going to hook you up with Adam so you guys can have a conversation. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk to a caller who's going through an international divorce.
Oh, no.
And he needs your help. And we'll be coming back with Albert and more. Don't go anywhere.
Tom Likas, the Internet's most listened to call-in show. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. A 901-3000-TOM, that's our telephone number, 901-3000-TOM. We're here with family law attorney Adam Sachs, and it's legal advice to you at 901-3000-866. Okay, here is Albert. Albert is in Bartlett, Illinois. Albert, you're on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Hello, Tom. Hello, Adam.
Hey,
Thank
Albert.
You for taking my call. I
sure.
appreciate it. My question for Adam is how to prepare for divorce in this country, or more specifically, how to stack the deck in my favor.
What's going on? Do you have an international divorce?
Yes. We were married here in L.A. in 2006, and then later in that year in Bogota, Colombia, we had the official ceremony down there. The divorce is in process down there. There's been a strike in the court system the past year, and they're finally back to work. So the beginning of September, I go back down for the first court appearance there.
So she lives there?
But she is living in Colombia now.
Wow. So why would you want to do the divorce there and not in the United States?
Because we were married there legally also.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you got married.
Okay, well, I have a lawyer down there, and he said that the laws down there are much better here in regard to how things are divided. It is 50-50.
Okay. But then you said you have a connection to Illinois or something?
Well, I grew up here, but I somehow found my way back last year.
Okay.
I'm kind of waiting for the dust to settle on all this so I can, you know, get my life back together and, you know, move forward.
Well, I understand. It just seems to me that if the courts were closed for a year due to some labor dispute or whatever, you lost a lot of time. And
yes.
If she's Colombian and you're not, I hope that you're going to be treated fairly in the Colombian courts, you know. Now, the United States courts, you know, a lot of them certainly, you know, seem to favor the female over the guys. And so if you have a better situation or your lawyer thinks you're going to get a better result in Colombia, that might be worth looking into. But at the same time, I mean, do you have kids with her, for example?
No children.
Okay, well, I'm glad to hear that because, you know, there's definitely a big concern in terms of, you know, the division of property and custody of children. If you recall, we were talking the other day about this actress, Kelly Rutherford, who has a divorce like yours where it's in the United States and it's also in Monaco. And it's, you know, ended up being rather disastrous for her. And so I just want to, you know, be sure that you're going to be treated fairly, you know, in Colombia. And it also seems like a big inconvenience for you to have to, you know, be going down there to deal with the hearings and so forth. I mean, do you guys have a lot of property to divide, for example?
Well, part of it is she had a girlfriend before we were married, and she always said that they were not together, they were just friends.
Yeah.
But I lost almost everything I had down there in a bank seizure by the government, and she said, your money's gone, you got to go back. So I came back here with like $4,000, a suitcase, and my cat in a cat carrier.
So your...
I went to Salt Lake and started over.
I understand what you... So your personal assets were taken from you from the bank?
Yes.
That's pretty crazy.
Well, that's what she told me. She said you'll probably never see the money also.
Well, my understanding is that in Colombia and some of these other countries, you know, they were seizing and nationalizing assets of, you know, criminals and drug dealers and so forth. But I presume that you're a regular person. You're not some kind of a criminal. You know, there's no reason that your account should have been seized like
that. Well, keep in mind, Adam, I can't speak for Colombia. I've been to Colombia, but I can't speak for Colombia, but I can speak for Argentina and some other South American countries. The government plays fast and loose with the money you have in the bank.
Really?
In 2001, the Argentinian peso was devalued from 1 peso to 1 American dollar down to 4 pesos to 1 American dollar. So your dollar was worth 25 cents overnight,
right?
But they couldn't stop there because there was a financial crisis going on in Argentina. The government stepped in, and if you had a bank balance, say you had $10,000 in the bank, now you've got $2,500 in the bank.
Right.
And then the government says to you, well, we've done you a favor. We converted your $2,500 into bonds, which are paying a very high interest rate.
Really?
So you're going to be way better off. But the reality was, anybody who knows anything about Argentina knows that Argentina defaults on just about every bond issue there is.
Right.
So the result is you ended up losing like 90% of everything you had.
Wow.
In the bank. Now, I don't know about Colombia, but I do know that the rules of the banking business in South America are way different from what they have here. And it's entirely possible. It's not just seizing assets of drug dealers. You know, it's entirely possible if there's some kind of a currency crisis or some kind of a retirement crisis or any kind of economic problem, they'll use that as an excuse to dip right into your bank.
Yeah, but he's talking not about losing 75 or 90%, but having it confiscated.
Well,
like 100%.
I understand that. But you know, telling you your money's been converted into bonds is confiscation. It's just a gentle way of telling you we just took most of your money.
I just feel like maybe she's lying to him.
That's possible, too. But he has an attorney in Colombia.
All right. So how's your attorney in Colombia?
He's a bit slow, but he's good. He's somewhat of a celebrity attorney. You know, he's had high profile cases in the past. I think the thing about the money is a lie, because when I talked to him, I told him that she told me I can never be a citizen, I cannot have a bank account, I can't own property in my name.
No, that's not
true. He said all three of those are lies, that I could have been a citizen already.
Yes, of course that's true. I know that if you marry a Colombian, you can become a dual citizen. I know someone who did that. And I know that you can buy apartments and so forth. And I saw a lot of them for sale when I was there. And they were trying to get foreign nationals to buy condominiums and so forth.
Right, but if, for example, in Mexico you can buy a condominium, but you can't own any land if you're not a Mexican national. Well, you have to marry one. So, if you go to Puerto Vallarta, you will see there are condominiums for sale, and they're selling to Americans. But if you say, there's a nice piece of beachfront property, I'd like to own that. Oh, no, you can't own that.
Wow. All right, well, there's some rules. I'm glad you have a lawyer. That's the important thing. And take his advice. I think I would be a lot more hysterical, concerned about you if you had kids, that maybe she was going to screw you over somehow and the kids were going to be in Colombia and you'd never get to see them. But it sounds like you've taken tremendous financial losses. You should certainly follow up on those if you can. It's very hard to accept that your accounts were just taken away from you like that. I know what Tom's talking about Argentina, but I'm not aware of Colombia doing similar things, though I guess it's possible. But,
But should I start proceedings here in the U.S. to free myself of any obligation and free myself of her?
No, I know, but I don't know what proceedings you would start. If you have it going in Colombia and it's going to be concluded there, then you can register that judgment in the United States and be done with it. It sounds like you want to wash your hands of this girl.
Let me ask a dopey question, because I'm an idiot who knows nothing about this. I've just been divorced 4 times. Does he have to resolve this issue in Colombia? Can he just walk away? Will he be extradited to Colombia?
Extradited, but he won't be divorced. He'll still be married.
Understood. But will that really have any meaning if he's here in the United States and she's in Colombia?
I guess if he wants to get married again or whatever, right? Think about these guys that do the Mexican divorce, right? They drive to Mexico, they fill out some forms, they get them notarized, they file them in court, and they're divorced, right?
Right.
And it's the same thing with the guys that used to go to, like, set up a hotel room in Nevada, you know, for a few days or a month or whatever, wait for their divorce to come through. Same idea. I mean, the Colombia, you know, case obviously is already going on. He has an attorney. I just get the feeling that the things that she's telling him are not true. I heard stories about people that, you know, thought they were buying property or whatever. They were making deals in Brazil or these different countries, and it was all fake, you know.
Right.
So these real estate agents that were selling the same property 10 times or whatever. So I just would be very cautious, and I hope your lawyer is a good guy. I hope you checked his background and, you know, make sure it goes through. I mean, it's not the same as the United States. I mean, Colombia is a great place, and as Tom and I have both been there. But, you know, you always have to remember that this is definitely a different universe, and people are not necessarily what they seem to be. And so you should really be careful and double check everything and make sure you're not getting, you know, tricked or cheated by anybody. Certainly not your ex. I wouldn't trust her at all.
So there's no benefit to filing for a divorce here and having it go through the court system here?
I mean, you could, I suppose. I mean, you have to choose. It seems like the one that got filed first is the one that's pending. But I don't know what the effect is going to be. Are you going to serve her in Colombia or whatever? I mean, how are you going to manage over her here? You want to file it in Illinois? Is that the idea?
Well, that was another one of my questions for me and everyone else. What is the best state to file for divorce in?
No, that's not it. It's where you live.
I mean, I can move anywhere, though.
Okay. Well, you have to settle your life, and if you're living in California now, then you would probably want to file it in California. I suggest you call me after the show, and I'll talk to you some more about this. But I think you've got to kind of stabilize yourself. You don't have a big custody thing, which I think is terrific, and it doesn't sound like you have a big money thing either. You said that you kind of came back to the United States with, you know, all your possessions in a suitcase. So you don't really have a lot to fight over, just being legally divorced, which is not that big a deal. So maybe it's there, maybe it's not. Depends on, you know, how you want to resolve it.
All right, Albert, I'm going to put you in touch with Dino, and Dino's going to put you in touch with Adam. And then we'll see what happens. Good luck to you. Appreciate the call. I do. All right, well, I'll take a break here. We'll come back and tell you how to get in touch with Adam. Don't go anywhere.
Tom Likas, the Internet's most listened to call-in show. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Yep, the Tom Likas Show. Here we are with family law attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, how do people get in touch with you?
Well, you can give me a call toll-free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. Check out my website at www.adamlawyer.com. Check me out on Facebook, of course, the Law Offices of Adam Sachs. And you can send me an email, which I read and answer myself, adam@adamlawyer.com.
Sounds good to me. All right, now, you're listening to Adam. Maybe you're listening on a podcast. Maybe you're listening to a replay or something from our on-demand library. But if you want to talk with Adam and you need legal advice, you can call Adam again coming up next Tuesday. This is going to be at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary Zeno.
Shut up, you fucking Tito asshole.
Brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com. Click on the Beer Magazine banner. Get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the now fully digital magazine devoted to beer.
Better believe it.
Beer Magazine, history in the making. Two broads will graduate from the Army Ranger course. Two broads.
But did they do the special course, or did they take the one that Pat Tillman took? I mean, come on now.
They're among the 96 students who will graduate from the intensive training program. This is the first year the Army opened the course to the Brats. It says so in the article.
I wish it did. It would be great.
Unlike the male graduates, the two women can't apply to join the 75th Ranger Regiment. That's the elite,
right.
Special Operations Force.
The training course, but that next level is off limits.
Well, it's a Special Operations Force.
Special Ops, man.
Yes.
There's a time and a place for everything, and you're not cutting corners or making anything special when it comes to, you know, making the rules easier for somebody to get into Special Forces. Because these dudes need somebody who can get the job done.
The Pentagon isn't expected to make the final decision about what exactly these two broads are supposed to do. Now that they've passed, they got no idea what to do.
Right. You know, maybe they should just make up a special broad forces or something.
Broad forces.
Yeah. See what happens there.
I would like to request special uniforms for that.
Real GI?
Something with a low button kind of thing and a push-up bra.
Except that when you see the ones that are making the run for this here, then you're going to request that not happen.
Not even cleavage will save that situation?
I can't even do 3 chin-ups. Who the fuck
right.
am
I? Right. Apparently, to pass this course, very stressful. You must be able to feel your feet. That's number one on the
list.
Yes.
I still could do push-ups like a motherfucker, but I can't do
the
goddamn
chin-ups.
Really? It is grueling training. There's no, you know, but I'm telling you, that, just like...
Them's tough broads.
Navy SEALs go through BUDS training. That's the first thing. There's a whole list of shit after that you got to do. And it sounds like they just completed the first part of what it becomes to be, an Army Ranger.
Yeah. A man in Ohio posted a video on Twitter of two men having sex outdoors. Turns out they were homeless and they were paid to perform the sexual act.
Wait a second.
They got paid.
So somebody walking by said, hey, two homeless dudes, if you bang
your
$100.
It's like bum fights. It's like bum fights.
Yeah, bum fucking.
Yeah. They're like, hey, I'm going to give you $10. You blow that dude. And look, dude, you get $10 too for getting blown. How about that?
Dude, this is ridiculous because the Twitter user who posted it said he paid for the men to perform the act for the camera, and now Dayton police are investigating sex trafficking charges.
Gage.
What a dummy. He thought it would be funny to periscope this fucking shit, and look what happened. I'd rather listen to Foco yelling at some guy's girlfriend for not being a true girlfriend than watching two dudes banging in the ass there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Personally, I'd rather watch her periscope.
Paula Deen could have a $100 million divorce brewing, and according to the National Enquirer, plans to drag her husband's mistress into this mix.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. That old man, apparently he's banging somebody else.
Even he had enough of her, allegedly.
Yeah. He buttered up old Paula too many times.
Paula's even going to drag Michael's mistress as a witness.
I hope the mistress is a sister. You know,
I do too.
That'd be awesome.
That would be extra fire.
Paula Deen's husband was banging a black broad.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
How wonderful! I would put cream on top of that pie there because it's delicious.
Cream on the pie.
Yep. I'd add ice cream too.
You are a real moron.
Mm-hmm. Finally, a pig alert for you. It's Rosanna Arkell. She's apparently what you call a TV personality. I can't figure out on what television I would be able to see her.
I would like to know where though.
Yes. And I hope that she's wearing a bikini. But she's wearing, in this particular picture that she posted today, what is essentially a see-through top. And if you wondered what her areolas and nipples look like, well, you'll get a very good idea here.
Yeah.
Very good.
It is, as of right now, it is the top post on the Gary Dino Show.
It very well should be.
I don't see anything wrong with that. I'm not going to argue that.
There'll be some people that say, do this, do
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah, sure, no. I already see the tough guys that apparently are banging better than this.
Yeah.
Those people don't seem to realize that we can go to their Facebook profiles and see what their
actual lives
are actually like. It's, I mean, don't they? What? Don't they?
Huh?
Plenty more at newsforguys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary. He's Dino. Check out the podcast. GaryandDino.com is where you find it. Brand new show every single Friday. You just go to GaryandDino.com to download GaryandDino.com. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, we're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.
Look at this dirty whore.
Looks what I got.
Looks what I got.